Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. And how do I know this? Because I checked again today. And yeah, it's still the same thing. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, May the 27th in the year of our Lord, 2015, which is really kind of weird because all day today, I kept thinking in my head that it was Thursday. Not that I'm wanting the weekend to get here any faster. It's just that I've been thrown off by the holiday, which means that I should really only think it's Tuesday, I suppose, but I don't know where I am at the moment as far as days are concerned, but it is, I do know that by looking at this wonderful device that we call computers, it can tell me the day and date. And that's how I keep track. So yes, it is Wednesday. And the number that you can call this evening is toll free is 603-835-3224. And a lot has been happening of late. And some of it is not so good for the abomination. Yeah, last night I want to thank Yoda and Backpack for spending some time with me, taking some time out of their busy schedule for spending. I know it's a different. I don't think I have ever had anybody on the program for basically the entire show. That was the first time. Yeah, that's right. For the record books, first time. But two very interesting individuals doing a lot of interesting things. If anybody's ever watched Bugs Bunny, they know one of my favorite episodes is with the redheaded monster. You remember the red monster, you know, with no arms most of the time, and Bugs Bunny was giving him. Never mind. It's just interesting people, because monsters are such interesting people. But you gotta like Bugs Bunny. If you don't watch Bugs Bunny, then you don't get my reference, and you're not gonna think it's funny. So I can't explain it. You just have to watch Bugs Bunny in order to get. You know, I always find it kind of amazing that it seems like a lot of people. I don't know what it is. They get into college, and maybe as soon as they graduate high school or as soon as they graduate college, they lose their childhood memory of cartoons. Especially the really good ones from Bugs Bunny and things. You know, you look at sometimes I'll just burst out with a line from a Bugs Bunny cartoon, and people look at me like I have two heads, and I'll say, "Did you ever watch Bugs Bunny?" And they'll say, "Yeah," and they still don't get it. And if they ever really watched it, then they would get the reference. But evidently, I don't know. Maybe they've forgotten. It's because a lot of people take themselves way too seriously. I do not take myself too seriously, which is how and why I do voice characterizations and makeup voices and quote, Bugs Bunny lines. I quote movie lines all the time. It's not that psychologists might say, well, it's because you don't have your own personality. Well, no, actually I do, but I just incorporate everything around me, everything that I see and do, touch and feel, if you will, becomes a part of me. You know, I take living, life, life is a very tactile experience for me. I take it all in. It's not, you know, I don't understand people who can just take stuff and just sort of pick and choose what they want and just toss out the rest. I take the good and the bad and I externalize it, internalize it, overternalize it, whatever or lies that you want to call it. It all just becomes a part of me. Now, granted, some of it over time fades away. You know, I don't do or act or say certain things today that I did 10, 15 years ago, because some of it just, it fades, and that's fine. The continuation of who I am and who I'm continuing to evolve to be, because I'm always trying to improve, always trying to become a better version of myself today than I was yesterday, and tomorrow will be the same thing. And it's all very natural. Now, you can't be a phony and do much of the stuff that I do. You just, people pick up on it. All this stuff just comes natural, which is really kind of amazing. Because somebody, there'll be a certain situation. It could be a very serious situation, and my attempt to lighten up the situation and interject a bit of brevity to the issue. I just may interject a movie line or quote or Bugs Bunny. And it usually has the effect, desired effect of lightening up the issue. But it's amazing how that stuff is just, it's there in my head at all times. And I don't even realize it. So when the right moment comes for that right line that I memorized from when I was like, you know, I don't know, maybe 8 or 10 years old, it's there. It's unbelievable, actually. It's very uncanny. And it's not to brag or be braggadocious or show how, you know, special I am. Isn't that special? No, we all can do it if we allow ourselves to do it. We all can do it. If there's something on your mind, if you want to add to the conversation that we're having this evening about any of the topics, again, the number is toll free, 603-835-3224. Just jump on your phone and give me a buzz. And you can join me live, just like Backpack and Yoda did yesterday. Which was a lot of fun. I have to admit, it was a lot of fun. Again, you know, something I haven't done before. We have I'll wait till tomorrow. I have an announcement tomorrow. So you probably want to pay attention to it tomorrow. Be here tomorrow. Major announcement. All details, coming. Tomorrow about, something very interesting that I'll be involved in, which is a good thing. Constantly being involved in new projects, as well as taking these old projects to newer, higher levels. That's what we're always striving to do, to improve, to get better, to grow, to get the message out to more and more and more and more and more people. So you can be a part of that by sharing the program with your family and friends and coworkers and such. By either playing it for them, pointing them to the website, rodeckles.net, 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 rodeckles.net. You can do that. You could check out the Facebook page, follow me on Twitter, LinkedIn and Pinterest and all the other stuff. Google Circles or Google Plus, whatever they call it over there. It's all good stuff. All good stuff. I noticed last night, now I gotta tell, I was bone tired. For those of you who don't know, the Captain's America show with Matt Bruce, which airs overnight, for, I think it's 4 hours from one to six or something. Well, it's 4 or 5 hours long. It's overnight anyway. You know, Eastern time, it's overnight. Well, it's overnight all over the country. But he covers a bunch of different topics, kind of like, I can't think of his name right now. Can't even think of that. Well, you know, the other overnight guy. But that's Captain's America, Matt Bruce. And I am now a regular contributor on that major overnight network every Tuesday morning. You can catch me at 5:05 a.m. That's right, 5:05 a.m. over there. And I'm on until 5:30 a.m. So basically 5 to 5:30 over there, you know, give or take a couple of commercials that they have to have. You know, they got to pay the bills. You know, we'll just go down the gamut of stuff that's happened over the past week. You know, where we're at, where I'm at, you know, all that kind of good stuff, my take on certain things. He's very astute. And you wouldn't think somebody who's up at you know, third shift like that would be so astute and so awake. Must be a lot of coffee, which I say amen to coffee. Gotta love coffee. It gets you up and gets you going. But, you know, it's still a little bit early for me, 5 a.m., but you'd be surprised just how awake and how brilliant I am at 5 a.m. So, you know, if you ever get a chance, he's on different networks, different stations around the country, and I think you know, you can actually, we'll probably put a link directly to him on the website. Yeah, there are some changes coming to the website. Also, you're going to want to check those out. An events calendar or page is coming up where you can possibly see me give a keynote speech over the summer. Yeah, that's coming. So all that will be in place by Friday. We're adding a bunch of other stuff over there as well. So, yeah, you know, check out the website, rodeckles.net, and come back daily, Monday through Friday, for new stuff. Yeah, we take a break over the weekend. Gotta have a break. All right, we got all that housekeeping stuff out of the way. Now on with the show, as they say. President Obama's legacy. President Obama's legacy. Everybody's, you know, why is it that now presidents are so concerned about their supposed legacy? Look, the legacy is that they were elected president. That's a very, very, very elite club. I mean, think about it. Well, we've had 44 presidents in our 236, 37-year whatever history. Yeah, just 44 people, 44 men. Now, someday there'll be a woman there. Hopefully not Hillary Clinton, but someday there will be a woman. And we'll call her Madam President, I'm sure. That'll be the term. But right now, it's just 44 guys. 44 guys have held the job. And that's not a lot of people. I mean, think about it. We got a nation of 300 million, 230, what is our population now? Wait, 330 million people. Boy, sorry, but I had a brain fart because I was thinking of the song 200 Million People. Yeah, it's a 60s song. If you don't know the song I'm talking about, you know, go YouTube it. I'm sure it is on YouTube. Kind of in the veins of the Coca-Cola jingle from that era. I like to teach the world to sing. Well, we're 200 million people. So yeah, go look it up. But anyway, so that's what crossed my mind. But we're not at 200 million anymore. We're at 330 million or so, give or take a few illegals in there. But only 44 men have ever been president. Only 44. So, and think about this. This is 230 million today. Now think of all the people that have lived, who were citizens that have lived in the United States since its inception. Now, I don't know the exact number, but I think it's safe to say that well over 500 million people have lived in the United States since its inception. And still, only 44 men have been president. So that is an extremely elite club to be a part. So with that said, your legacy is already kind of secure because you were the president of the United States of America. Plain and simple. I mean, that's that. It doesn't get any more elite than that. Well, it can. I guess you can be a king or a queen or a potentate or an emperor or something. But, being president of the USA, it doesn't really get any more exclusive than that. And in fact, oftentimes we're lucky if we have a president or two that are alive after they leave office. What do we have? Now we have George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush. So that's only three former presidents are still with us. All the others have passed on. They passed away. So this just shows what an elite club it is. And it is highly likely that, we'll rather sooner rather than later lose H.W. Bush. He's like, what is he, 90 or something now? He's getting up there. But that's just the way it is. But why are we worried so much about the legacy? When you start worrying about, instead of doing what you need to do and doing what's right, you start worrying about how people are going to view you when you're gone or when you're out of office. Then you start doing things that really aren't in the best interest of the country, and you just start doing things because you want to do them, because you think it's going to give you a grand and great legacy. When did the living really care about what the legacy of the living was all about? Why don't you do what you think is right and do what is best for the nation and its people, and let your legacy sort itself out? Then you can't direct your every time they try to direct their own legacy, they start screwing things up. Look at Bill Clinton. Bill wanted to be in control of his legacy. I think his legacy is being written for him in spite of what he wanted. Well, that's the way it's always going to be. I don't care who you are. And George W. Bush, maybe he thought his legacy was going to be one way, but obviously there are a bunch of people on the left who are trying to write and rewrite his history in the White House and thus change his legacy. So you're not in control of your legacy even when you try to do it. And when you try to do it, that's just as bad as when you if you're a Republican and you don't even try to do it. But I don't know why we have to worry so much about legacy stuff. What is Obama's legacy? Who care? I don't care what we think of him when he's out of office. That doesn't matter. That means he's already done whatever he's going to do. If you're worried about, well, how are we going to remember him? What are we going to think about? Well, that's the wrong way to put it. You got to think about, well, what's he doing right now, and do we agree or disagree? And if we disagree, how do we stop him? You don't go, 10 years in the future and then decide, oh, well, yeah, that was... We should, we probably never should have let him do that because now his legacy is crap. And yeah, no, we're not worried about legacy. At least we shouldn't be. I know we're all into this celebrity mode. But you know what? Stop worrying about your legacy. There is one thing that a self-help guru of mine once said. He said, stop worrying about what other people think about you. Because what other people think about you is none of your business. It really isn't, because they're going to think about you what they want to think about you any way it goes. You're not going to get them to stop. So why do you try so hard to change people's opinions of you? Why do you try so hard and strive so hard to create this so-called legacy or remembrance pool, if you will, when they're still going to, in the end, they're still going to think of you however they want to think of you. They're still going to believe whatever you did or didn't do or should have done or could have done or wish you did. People are going to view all of that stuff in retrospective, and they're going to believe and think whatever they want to believe or think. And you, believe it or not, are going to have very little effect on how people view you once you're gone. Because you're not there to, you know, defend yourself anymore. You can't say, well, yeah, you know, I did this because here's what happened. And this is why. You're not here to do that anymore. So whatever people are going to think of you, they're going to think of you regardless of what you do. And frankly, it's none of your business what other people think of you. What's really important is what you think of you and how you handle yourself. And are you doing the best that you possibly can do? And are you doing what's in the best interest of those around you? Not for yourself. Because, you know, if you're doing things from a selfish point of view, that's going to come out in your legacy. It's going to, Oh, Obama, man. Yeah, he seemed like he was a selfish prick back in the day. You know, this could be the year, you know, 2050. Yeah, man, he was one selfish prick, always a narcissistic a-hole. Well, maybe he was and maybe he wasn't, but see, that's what people, if you fast forward, that's what people think. Well, yeah, there are people who think that today, that he's a narcissistic a-hole, and I'm one of them. And look, he can't change it. His legacy has already been laid. The road to his legacy has already been laid and paved by his actions, and his actions are based on how he wants people to perceive him. Obviously, I want people to think that I did what's best for them. I mean, that I did what I wanted, I got what I wanted, and. If I didn't get what I wanted, then I gave an executive order and I still got what I wanted most of the time. But now I've got this pesky court, to deal with, and that's going to put a cramp in my legacy, and got to do something about that. Because people have got to see how good I am, how good I really am. Because I'm just here for me. I mean, I'm here for you. And all people you love, and all people I love. Well, it's mostly people I love, but I love all of you. So remember me when I'm out of office, and think of me positively, and tell everybody you know, and teach your children and your grandchildren how great I am, I was in office, but I'm still in office, so I'm still great. So just teach them that. You know, you can't think about your own legacy. You just have to go out there and do what is best for you and your loved ones, you and your community. That's what it's all about. It isn't about worrying what other people are going to think about you. Because in the end, they're going to think what they want to think, whether you like it or not. And in the end, what they think of you is none of your damn business. So get on with life.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastating injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The Friends, Family, and Recent Ex-Girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Listening to The Rod Eccles Show.
603-835-3222. four is the number to call should you wish to join yours truly, me, here while I'm in the Bunkerize home studio. And, geez, do I hear thunder coming in? Today was, it was a scorcher of a day. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I was basking. It was hot. It was wonderfully hot. I think the temperature got up to 92 today, I think, was the high, although I didn't see 92. I saw 89. In any case, it was a little sticky, a little early for mugginess and stickiness in my book, but I am not complaining about it because the only thing I'm complaining about is it wasn't on the weekend so I could go to the beach. You know, today was a busy work day. Unfortunately, I could not break off and go to the beach. But it was quite refreshing and warm, hot. Loved it, as they say. But it was just a beautiful day out there. It really was. It was gorgeous. And I know, you know, the global warming stuff or crowd is probably coming out of the woods. See, Rod, it's so hot and it's only May. Yeah, it's global warming. Man-made. Well, this is what I wanted. So if it's man-made global warming, that's okay. Because now if we get a good old-fashioned thunder boomer storm, that might be kind of nice, too. As long as it doesn't, you know, take out the power, because then it would screw things up. Now, I have backup power, but unfortunately, it's not instantaneous, so it throws everything out of whack, unfortunately. You know, things go off, and then it's got to switch on, and then, yeah, it's a pain in the butt. Actually, I should probably have a backup system so I can keep recording. So later on, I could, you know, fix and finish whatever it is I need to fix and finish to make sure the whole thing. Well, we'll just have to hold on and hope that there isn't a power outage between now and 9 p.m. Eastern time. Just have to hope. And if there is, we'll deal with it. But anyway, as I was talking about President Obama's legacy, well, it seems that his legacy might be in a little bit of trouble. Just a little bit of trouble. Now, this from the WashingtonPost.com. President Obama's legacy is increasingly in legal jeopardy. Now, it's about dang time, too. I got tired of this guy just rolling roughshod over the Constitution and judges either being too afraid to do what, you know, to do their job or people not taking the president to task for whatever he's doing. But President Obama's second term agenda, it seems, is in the hands of the courts. Now, that's really not where it should be in the first place. You know, don't want to have to depend on courts to especially courts nowadays, because, you know, a liberal judge could really throw a monkey wrench into stuff. But at least it's a shot. We got a shot. Now, his second term agenda, it seems, is in the hands of the courts. Same-sex marriage, Obamacare, climate change, and now immigration. And in many cases, there is significant doubt about whether his signature initiatives will stand legal scrutiny. So there are parts of Obamacare, you know, have been argued in front of the Supreme Court, and we should know in about a month or so what their decision is on that. We're all crossing our fingers and hopefully that, you know, Chief Justice Roberts comes to his senses and tries to find some way to repair the damage that he did when he found Obamacare to be legal. Hopefully. Same with climate change. You know, the president wants to do all kinds of things, and hopefully the courts will say, you know what, this stuff is kind of fake. You know, a lot of it has been admitted to be false, fake, you know, made up kind of stuff, so you can't base science on false data. You can't do that. Well, I mean, they try to, but you really can't have policy based on fakery and faulty science. And now immigration, because, you know, he just wants to, you know, by fiat decide that, yeah, you know, he's going to, we're not going to do this. We're going to do this instead. And people are saying, well, no, the law is the law. You don't get to pick and choose how you enforce the law, Mr. President. You're the chief law enforcement officer of the land, basically. So you've got to enforce the laws. If you don't like the laws, and you got to get your party and then the other party, which is the Republican Party, to agree on a plan or a law that will change things that you can sign into law. Now, the latest blow to Obama's second term plans came yesterday when a federal court, a federal appeals court in New Orleans, denied the administration's request to move forward with implementing his expanded executive action on immigration to defer deportation for millions of undocumented workers. Now, the point is that even though this judge is saying, well, no, he's not putting a, he's not going to allow you to continue to do whatever you want to do. How is he going to, the question is how is he going to force the president to actually deport people? You know, they could get hung up, what have you, in the court system and not deport people. Look, I may sound cold, heartless, and cruel, but I'm not. And the only reason why I sound cold, heartless, and cruel is because we have a bunch of liberal idiots that just don't understand how the world works. And even if you were to have a one world, look, this isn't, we're not gonna be Star Trek for crying out loud. Yeah, we might be more like Star Wars or even Dune, but we're not gonna be Star Trek anytime soon. I know, you know, Gene Roddenberry probably, you know, wanted a united planet and, you know, united governance and Starfleet and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? It's just not going to happen right away. It's not going to happen for generations yet, if at all. But we'll have to see, but it's not going to happen. Obama, basically, here's a look at Obama's other agenda items that are now in the court's hands because Texas and 25 other states have sued to have Obama's immigration executive order shelved. The drama is sure to ensue for months. And in fact, there are people who are saying that, you know, this might drag on for another year or so, which means it puts us dangerously at the end of Obama's term. I know there are people out there who think that Obama's not going to leave office. It's going to be martial law. He's going to put off the election. You just watch. Look, even during World War II, we had an election. Just saying. Texas and 25 other states have sued to have Obama's immigration executive policy shelved. Now, this could drag on for months, and they expect it to drag on for months, even though they, you know, and I'm sure Obama thought it'd be, you know, done away with in a couple of weeks, but evidently not. And this throws into doubt whether the fight over all of Obama's executive actions on immigration will be settled before he leaves office in January of 2017. Here's a look at some of his other agenda items that are now in the court's hands. Obama is the first American president to support same-sex marriage, though his public evolution apparently was slower than his personal one. Before he backed gay marriage, he called for repealing the Defense of Marriage Act, and since he has ordered federal agencies to recognize same-sex marriages and partnerships like any other married couple. However, but the Supreme Court could have the final say in gay marriage in America when it hands down a high-profile decision in the next month on whether states that ban gay marriage violate a couple's constitutional right. The Supreme Court went Obama's way in 13 when it allowed the federal government to recognize legally married same-sex couples. However, is this a constitutional issue? And I frankly, sincerely hope the court says no. And here's why. And I know some people out there go, oh, you're a gay basher. Gay. No, I am not. But here's why. I have explained this at length, ad nauseum, so many times. And even liberals cannot argue my point. Marriage is not a government issue. It is a religious issue. It has been since day one. It's been a religious ceremony recognizing that two people have come together and are joined as one union. The woman leaves her father's house and joins her husband's house in this, and they do it under whatever god that they were worshiping in that particular community at the time. It's always been a religious thing. Therefore, government has no issue or place in it. And the reason why our government is so involved in marriage is because it came out that of the slave era, where, and when slaves were free, that blacks and whites couldn't marry. No, you can't marry a white man can't marry a black girl. No, not legal in this state. And then it just snowballed from there, because now the government's involved in it and they get to determine if you got to go for a marriage license. And they get, whenever the government decides that we're going to have to pay in order for it to exercise a particular right, because they've decided, you know, just unilaterally to take it out of the public domain and put it in the purview of the government, that they get to tell you what you can and cannot do. Now, if you're going to argue that, you know, a man and a man and a woman is marriage, and they should be allowed to marry because of the Constitution guarantees this right, which it does not, then there is no way for society to stop its slide into depravity. You cannot say, well, you know, two men can marry, but why not three? You know, why not two men and a woman, or one man and two women? Why not polygamy? Why not, arrangement? How about, you know, the man marrying his dog or a woman marrying her horse? What about, you know, pedophilia? Should there be less pedophilia laws? Because, you know, hey, yeah, you can get married. Why not? You know, let me put it in perspective for you. Even what we might call or consider some of the most debaucherous type of societies in human history, the ancient Greeks, who pretty much, you know, kind of, I guess, are credited with creating the whole homosexual thing by being very open about it and even promoting it to a certain degree, and including pedophilia to a certain degree in ancient Greece. They didn't allow same-sex marriage. Marriage for them was between a man and a woman. Even in the last throes of the ancient Roman Empire, when, you know, orgies were the norm and debauchery was everywhere and they were destroying themselves from within. And, you know, if you wanted to, you know, whatever made you feel good, you know, go ahead and do it. They didn't allow same-sex marriage either. So all of, you know, and throughout history, great empires, they may have practiced all kinds of strange sexual things in the open and even promoted some of it. They never allowed it. Because in order to continue society, you needed to be of a certain bent, if you will. There was a natural order of things. And if you open the door for this, and a lot of homosexuals agree with what I'm telling you, if you open the door for this, you open the door for stuff that even homosexuals cannot stand. But you're not going to have a leg to stand on to keep it from happening. Don't doubt me. And I don't want to have to explain that again, because you just take your feelings aside from it and just look at it from a natural nature. Even if you take God out of the picture, a nature point of view, it's not a nature point of view type of thing to allow. It's just not. Even those so-called gay penguins, they broke up. When it, they did. Didn't hear much about it from the left, but they did. You know, and they both went to women so they could have offspring. That was the, check it out. I'm just saying, folks. So,
there's homosexuality in the animal kingdom.
Well, it doesn't stay. They understand what it takes. If they, if they want to perpetuate the species, they understand. And that's plain and simple. But again, it's really none of our business, my business, what you do in your bedroom, what you do in your house. The objection is, for a lot of people, is that when you bring it out to the public square and you try to force other people to accept it, and not only accept it, but like it, and not only like it, but fully love it. That's wrong. Plain and simple, it's wrong. But hey, if you want to have, you call it something else, civil unions, that's fine. Obamacare, continuing on. The president's signature health care reform law has already survived one Supreme Court challenge back in 2012 when a divided court, thanks to Justice Roberts, narrowly upheld the mandate for people to have insurance by determining it was a tax. This time around, however, the court is mulling another major portion of the law, whether the federal government can subsidize health insurance for low and middle income people who bought their insurance on the federally run website, healthcare.gov, in states that didn't set up their own exchanges. The challengers say the law was written only supports subsidies for the 16 states that set up exchanges. And frankly, if you read the law, that's pretty much what it says. The federal government has no right, if you will, by the law to set. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't go back and fix it by, passing a new law that would say the federal government can have exchanges. And that would be only, I think this would only be a temporary setback for Obama if the court found that the government doesn't have any legal standing to have exchanges. But would the Republicans go along with it? Oh, they probably would. They probably would. And they would, so because they would think that people want this thing now that we have it, and now that we have it, we got to keep it, and blah, blah, blah. You know, big government all over again, because the Republicans would be too wimpy to stand up to Obama and the liberal left and show that they have some chutzpah, if you will. Now, if the court rules in King versus Burwell that those subsidies are unconstitutional, upwards of 8 million people in 36 states could lose their subsidies. It would be, it would undo a key part of the Affordable Care Act and possibly unravel the whole law. Yeah, we can hope. We can definitely hope. Climate change is another issue. Obama told U.S. Coast Guard cadets last week that failing to act on climate change will set a course for disaster. At the same time, the Supreme Court is debating whether his method of cutting down on greenhouse gas emissions is even constitutional. The Supreme Court heard arguments in March on whether the Environmental Protection Agency's crackdown on coal and fire-powered plants, mercury emissions, failed to consider undue costs on the power plants. The justices are expected to share their decision in June, but is expected to be just an early challenge to the president's executive climate change initiatives. Again, he's out there saying, hey, you cadets at the Coast Guard graduating, hey, climate change is our biggest threat. No, not terrorism. Not ISIS, taking over the Middle East. No. Not Putin threatening testing and threatening invading our airspace. No. Not China and the South China Sea and threatening Taiwan and building island airports in the middle of the ocean down there in the South China Sea. No, not China. No, none of that kind of stuff. No, it's climate change. That's the biggest thing. Not our enemies, not the enemies of the United States, but climate change. Yeah, that's the big thing. Other immigration issues, a lawsuit against Obama's plan to shield 5 million additional undocumented immigrants from deportation isn't the only court challenge to the president's executive actions on immigration. Now, House Speaker John Bonier is considering putting to a vote a separate lawsuit against the president for expanding the program in November. This is in addition to the vote the House of Representatives took along party lines last summer to sue the president over his overall use of executive authority. Now, neither of Congress's lawsuits have made its way to a higher court, but with Obama's luck lately, and hopefully they will. Just got to hope that they will. It really is what it is. If the court actually starts to strike down some of this stuff, let's face it, the Supreme Court isn't going to rule 100% the way we want them to. It's just not going to happen. I don't have that kind of optimism. But it does set a precedent, and hopefully it gives Bonnier and the wonderful Rhino Republicans a little bit of more of a backbone to stand up to the president and say, no, we're not doing it this way. We're not going to do this or that, and we're going to stop you because that's what we're here for. Hopefully at least that'll come out of this, that they will do something like that. We can only hope, right? We can hope that that'll be the case. Doesn't always work out to be that way, but we can hope that that'll be the case. Hey, this is from the Washington Post as well. Gloomy Don McLean reveals meaning of his song American Pie, and he sells the lyrics for $1.2 million. The American Pie manuscript sells for $1.2 million. Now, the music died because Buddy Holly merely wanted what every touring musician wanted, to do laundry? That's what he says. Shovel. I'm not making this up, folks. This is a Washington Post story. Shoved into unheated buses on a winter dance party tour in 1959, Holly, tired of rattling through the Midwest with dirty clothes, chartered a plane on February 3rd to fly from Clear Lake, Iowa to Fargo, North Dakota, where he hoped he could make an appointment with a washing machine. Joining him on the plane was Richie Valens, and after future country star Waylon Jennings gave up his seat, J.P. Richardson, a.k.a. the Big Bopper, taking off instead in the bad weather. And taking off in bad weather with a pilot not certified to do so, the plane crashed, killing everyone. The toll was incalculable. The singers of Peggy Sue and Come On, Let's Go and Donna and La Bamba were now dead. Holly was just 22. Valens was 17. Rock and roll, as they say, would never be the same again. 13 years later, Don McLean wrote the song about this tragedy, American Pie, in an 8.5-minute epic with an iconic lyrics about the day the music died. Now the original 16-page working manuscript of the lyrics has been sold at auction for $1.2 million. I wonder if Bernie Sanders thinks that Don McLean should pay 90% of his so-called ill-gotten gains from that. We'll get into what Bernie Sanders means right after the break, and we'll finish about the American Pie, too. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.